Fredwick joins me live at On the Rocks. What's happening?
Oh, man.
Buddy, you're rattled right now.
I am. Well, I always leave at 3:30 to come here. And as many of you know, I know the bridge above Grove Road is now closed for like the next 18 months. So you got to go around the other way. And it was just jammed. And then, you know, because everyone's trying to go over to downtown that way. And then right after 124th, I think there was a power truck in the middle, right after the intersection. So it was down from two bridges to one bridge. And then now there's a power truck right after 124th on whatever that is, 104th. It was a complete nightmare. I had to go through all these back alleys and stuff. I couldn't believe it. Talk about bad timing. I mean, it's rush hour. What are you doing putting that truck there at that time when there's one less bridge in the downtown?
Oh,
frustration.
Hey. Don't even get me started on the fact that I understand, you know, you got to do the bridge work. Great.
Yeah.
But then on 104th, they don't close down the parking meters. Close down the parking meters so you at least have two lanes of traffic. It's idiotic. Hello, Don. Anybody else in the city?
Yeah.
That's just somebody should drive through there. What would make this easier? Yeah. Maybe just put those little red baggies over the parking meters. So for the next 6 months, unfortunately, those 10 stalls, no one can park on there. Just a thought.
It's a lot. There's going to be, right now it's summertime, so it's not even that bad. Just think about middle of winter, how much traffic will be on that road because of the Grote Road Bridge or whatever they call it. Does that have a name, that bridge? My kids call it the Noisy Bridge.
I'm not sure if there's an actual name to it.
But it's gone. It's gone for 18 months, and that probably means 20 months.
18?
18 months she's down for.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, they did the other side of it on 104th Ave, so yeah. There you go. It's tough. Those stretches, maybe you should bike here now.
I would, but I still have to take the same route. There's
But you're on the sidewalk. You'd be way faster.
That's true. I could.
You just flip people the bird as you go by them.
Well, the Tour de France does start tomorrow.
Yeah.
I should actually probably start riding around.
Well,
with
maybe
my bike.
You could start competing in it. If you train now, maybe by next year you could be a world Tour de France competitor.
You know, I was looking at the odds today. It's amazing. I mean, it's going to be, it's a tough competition, and it's going to be a tough road. And I know not many people are into it, but it is fantastic when you watch it. Starts early morning, so it's perfect. Starts at, what does the coverage start? Usually 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning. Early start of the day.
Yeah. Be watching tennis. By the way.
That's tomorrow. Yeah.
By the way, we will have Jeannie Bouchard's historic Wimbledon final right here on TSN 1260 starting tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.
What do you think?
Oh, she's winning now.
She's on fire,
man. She hasn't lost a set yet. She is crushing it right now.
But you know, I think at some point you have to, what's the right word I want to use? You know, the expectations are that, you know, okay, she's doing well, she's young, she's going to lose. But now I think when she's playing so well and done so well and exceed our expectations, I think you have to raise the bar as far as what is possible for this young lady. And so I think a win tomorrow is very possible. I mean, I watched Milos today, watched about half of that, and he looked off. You know, and he was playing Roger Federer. I could see where maybe you'd get into your head somewhat on such a big stage, playing one of the greatest tennis players of all time. But I thought Milos looked off, and Roger just, you know, straight sets, rolled him over. But I don't know. This Jeannie, she's got a fire about her. I love the way she competes. I'll tell you what, I think she's going to win tomorrow. First time ever. Be amazing.
It's unreal. She's playing great.
Really rolling. 7 a.m. start tomorrow morning. Set the alarms for that one. You'll have to maybe go home early tonight. Hey.
Oh, buddy, Friday night. I'm going to the Eskimo game tonight.
Yeah, well,
so
I know where that leads to.
I'll be, so that means I'll have to do your show after the game because, you know,
can't get
a night off, so I'll do that. That's fine. But you know what? I am up bright and early. I get the morning shift with the young B-man.
Oh,
so, he'll be up. Normally he eats at 6:30, so he'll be done feeding.
Okay, great.
Because, you know, then I'll clean up the mess because he's now on to Pavlum, so that's
Is
a good
he?
Time. Oh, it's fun.
Geez,
it's awesome.
Messy.
Yeah, it's great time. He's past the messy part. That was about a month ago. Now he's pretty good, yeah. I just wait an extra 50 minutes, and then he's famished. So then he doesn't even use his hands. He just wants to eat. So, and then, put him in the old the little jumper, turn his back to the TV because it's not good for his eyes, and then I'll watch TV.
Sure. You don't let him watch TV?
No. But I read up on it. It's horrible. They say it's really bad for young kids.
Well, sorry. Yeah. Sorry to my kids.
Yeah.
They grew up. We'd watch the Tour de France every morning, all three of us, or four of us.
Oh,
well, I'll have to. Apologize later.
He watches me. That's, you know, that's exciting enough for him.
He listens to it like the radio.
I'm kind of like a bobblehead to him, so it's good. It's entertaining.
Topic.
Lots of this. Now, have you ever thought about retiring from a certain activity you've done in life? Have you ever thought about saying, you know what, I think I'm done? Have you ever been at that point?
Baseball, probably done with that.
Yeah, well, did you ever really start, though?
Well, no, but I mean, if you ask me something yeah, no, I don't
like
want to do
something that you do and you enjoy and you're like, you know what? I think I'm done.
Not really.
Storms, you?
Have I, like, just pretty much wanted to quit on something?
Yeah, well, not just quit. Say, you know what? I'm pretty happy. I'm going to go out on a high.
No.
Because I think I might retire from golf today.
Really? Oh, you think that you played well today?
I had three natural birdies. I'll never be better than that. Honestly, I know I can't. I missed a hole in one by 3 inches. We got the picture of it. Yeah. I'll never golf better than that in my life. And I'm thinking that I think I might just finish because I know I realistically for me to get more than three birdies in a round, it's probably never going to happen again.
Really? You've never had more than three birdies in a round?
No, in one round? No. I play legit. No.
I would have quit 10 years ago if that was me.
Fred, I played with you. You've never had three birdies.
Oh, no, have. Like three birdies is a good round by all means, but.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For a guy who's an 18
handicap.
I don't
think I'd quit
after
it.
That's really good.
Yeah. Maybe you're actually getting good.
No.
Yeah, so now's not the time to go.
No.
Who do you think you are, Gretzky?
But right now I'm averaging a birdie a round. I've only golfed three rounds this year, and I got three birdies today. Yeah. So I'm pretty much done.
But that's the tournament you guys all shoot from the reds, right? From the ranch. So basically,
No.
Your son could have got
well,
two.
Well, it's not like the whites are far back.
You play from the whites? Ooh, jeez.
That's where they play the tournament from.
I'd back it up just to make it.
But
contest.
Does when you're if your par three is 150, does it really matter? Like you're 150 either way. Who cares?
Okay, but the other two, was it all three on par threes?
No, two par threes. The par four, number nine.
Yeah. It's the problem, you don't have distance on your shots. That's
well, no, that was the thing. That was the longest drive I've ever had either. You could have, and you know what? Nathan Dempsey's coming on our show later. Because, by the way, if he could have played hockey with a putter, he might have been a 50-goal scorer.
Good
this guy, he was killing it on the greens today.
Was he good?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Well, I had to leave to come do the show, but I'm sure he won the longest putt for an eagle on number
really?
Seven. Jarred it from at least 30 feet.
Would you guys have were on pace to win the tournament before you left?
Well, the only team that beat us was Murray, but they had two pros in their team. That's garbage. You can't have two golf pros on one team.
Yeah, they were 19 under.
Yeah,
that's not even fair.
Like, we were 14 under for a bunch of hacks. Like, seriously, this was like the peak of our golfing careers. Then there'd be 14 under again.
That is sad. I should be that. I've actually been minus 23, but if we're going to compare and whip them out and compare.
Strad's like, we're not. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of which.
We're not going to sit and talk about the fact that you were like the sixth guy on a team of seven, probably.
We still nailed it.
Get this, Strudwick.
Go ahead.
I golfed with some iron workers today.
Go ahead.
And the one guy's title was erection specialist.
Oh, geez. That's a name and a half right there. Is he? How high can he get?
It's all about the iron working.
Could they play golf?
But actually, all of them. We get out there, we're on a par three to start, and all of them are just right on the pin. I was like, whoa, this is going to be a good day.
So what was your final score?
He didn't tally it up before he went. He put it in, but I would say we were pretty good. We were really low today. I would say probably about 15 or 16.
So you're guessing you're better than Gregerson.
How do you
right?
not? How do you not keep score?
He was keeping score, but I know that everything was circled, and sometimes two circles over one number. So that's pretty good.
What's two?
Well,
circles?
If it was everything,
two circles
that's
is
more
an
than
eagle, Strudwick.
We'll have to get maybe Chopper on to get his official final. See where you guys finish.
I know.
I think they set a record for most money races here, which is important.
Did he?
Mm-hmm. For his golf tournament, yes.
Yeah, no, that's
not
great.
At one golf tournament
in
the world,
but
for his, yes.
That's good. Well, it's always a fun time.
It is a good time. Why weren't you out there? What was your excuse?
I had things I accomplished today.
That sounds like you made it up.
Basically, that was like, I don't want to go because I know that I'll get too lubricated and I can't do the show. That's the truth.
I didn't want to get into it, but I did have to do a few things that had to get done.
Okay.
On this particular day.
All right. That sounds very fishy.
There's no I in charity.
I know, but there's a me in my life, you know?
Did you watch Milos today?
I watched half of it.
Yeah.
I just thought he looked off. I didn't think he looked like he had his – now, I'm not going to sit here and say I know everything about tennis. He just didn't look comfortable for me out there. And I get it. It's a huge platform, huge, huge thing for him to be on, playing against Federer. I thought he looked a little bit
– his he had been dominating with his serve. And he just, his serve wasn't aware. Like, he was at a level that, you know, even, like, the professional, like, the expert announcer guy's like, man, if he keeps serving like this, he's going to be really hard to beat. And his serve's still very good. It just wasn't to that level. Like, it was – he had 36 straight service points in the quarterfinal. Yeah. Like, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is. No, he's to go that far, he did it great. I mean, you should all be proud of him.
Yeah.
But
– hey, he's top four. Like, he's ranked eighth in the world, goes to the semifinal. So, for you know, that's still a great tournament for him.
fantastic.
And he's up against Federer. Federer's still one of the greatest. I still, like, people were all about Nadal. He's going to take over. Roger Federer, to me, for what he's done for as long as he's done it, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, in that individual sport, it's ridiculous. Like, in any, like, team sports for individuals to do it long, you know, it's great. But I'm telling you, that individual sport, Roger Federer, to me, might be one of the greatest athletes of all time.
I wouldn't argue that. He's dominated a very tough sport. There's no doubt in injuries, the different surfaces, all that stuff. It really makes it, it changes it up.
Yeah, he's sick. Sick good.
But the time is coming when Roger will run out
of
steam.
Yeah, well, of course, yeah.
But, you know, Milos, I think it's he's ranked eighth. He's doing great. But I think that breakthrough and get to that top four or top three ranking, it's a pretty good distance still. And he's got a little work to do. But, I mean, he's got to the semis. He's obviously doing well.
Very well.
But to win a major will be quite an accomplishment.
Canadian tennis right now is taking a huge, huge step with Bouchard and Milos Raonic. A lot of young kids. Why wouldn't you want to play?
It's a great game. Oh, did you ever play it? Let me guess. You were the champion of Fraser View Canyon,
excuse me,
it was called.
Polkai, that's your routine. Okay? Everybody who listens knows that. Like, let's not try to bump that. Yeah. No, I played tennis, like, you know, a few times in Leduc at the courts, and I liked it. But, no, never. I've never played, like, an actual organized official game, just out with your buddies.
Yeah. Those legs, I don't think they could last three sets.
Oh, for sure. Buddy, endurance was never an issue with me. Right?
So you
getting the serve in was probably the biggest issue. But endurance, never a problem.
Just you lack the power to get it over the net?
I lacked accuracy to get it consistently in.
Okay.
Yeah. But tennis is great. It's one of those games where obviously you can't play every game, but it's one of those games where, like, football was the one sport I wish I would have been able to play as a kid.
That's the one you really miss?
Yeah, just like we played football all the time in high school, and we used to play tackle football, but it wasn't organized.
Yeah.
And our high school wasn't big enough. We didn't have a football team. It's just one of those sports where I like football a lot. I would have loved the opportunity to play. I got to be in a DB or receiver, clearly. You know, I'm not playing anywhere else. Right? I wasn't playing inside. I wasn't going to be a linebacker. I wasn't going to be a running back.
I think there's a position for you. It's called punter.
I'd have been a punter. Why not? Yeah but when you're a young man, you played like both ways. You'd play punter. The kicker was usually the quarterback, the kicker, and a lot of times it's like the star linebacker. Right? But that wouldn't be
so
me.
You say.
Yeah, there's no, I'm saying.
So
all the sports, I could have been a receiver or a DB. I'm just saying that's the position that I probably would have played.
Why? Because you're athletic or because you're a thinking man, in your own words? I'm not
saying. No, because I don't have I wasn't a body type to be an interior lineman.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right? I wasn't thick enough to be a linebacker, so I'd be like a receiver, tall and lanky, fast, pretty much it.
What about perhaps equipment manager? Would that have been a role that your physique could have handled?
Struds. Anytime you want to do athletic endeavors, Gregor 2, Strudwick nothing. So anytime you want to put up, we're welcome to it. Dempsey wanted to know, and it's funny, when he realized after the round, he goes, now I understand why Struds hasn't played golf against you since you beat him. He's scared. And I'm like, hey, I didn't want to admit to it, but I agree.
I could see you in a well-lit room painting the helmets for a high school football
No,
team.
Obviously you haven't. That'd I have no great. Artistic ability. I can't. Even if they had lines on it, I couldn't draw inside the lines. I'm the worst artistic person. I would say I would put my lack of artistic skills against anybody in Edmonton. I can barely draw a straight line with a ruler. Honestly, it's brutal. Like, when we play Pictionary, my wife just howls. Like,
is that bad?
Honestly, I just can't do it. I do not have the ability to draw. I can guess great, but I can't really draw. Like, it's awful. Like, I grew up on a farm, try to get me to draw a cow, seriously. Like, I guarantee you Beckett, probably when he's first time he can hold a pen, could probably draw better than me. It's like just one of those things. I have no capacity to look at a picture and then draw it online. Like, I have amazement for the people who have artistic ability. I have none.
Sad. That's really sad. I'm sorry you have that.
Well, it doesn't bother me. I've gone through life pretty successfully. I'm okay with it.
Like, we're starting to count down. Like, one hand, I can put all your skills on one hand, my fingers here. You know, baseball, you're pretty good. You're definitely a good talker.
Good looking. We're going to keep going.
I guess it depends how you look at it. Well. 6.5. What did you rank you again? Was it 6.5 we said?
Oh, no. 10? I think I would got like an 8.4 rank.
On a 12 scale.
That's still close to 70%, man. Take that.
Oh, God.
We're going to have fun today
on
the show.
Is it Friday?
Dempsey's joining us later on the show. Oh. Sotheby's joining us from California. Geez. Cop out, sell out. Also, the Eskimos tonight. What a great night for football. Are you freaking kidding me? And the Winnipeg, hold the phone, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. The Eskimos and the Bombers by 11 o'clock tonight could have a combined 4 wins. They combined for 7 last year. Yeah. What the hell's going on? Now, I understand that they beat the Red Blacks in expansion team, but whatever. You've got to bank the wins early in a CFL season because injuries always happen. And whether or not the guy's injured enough to have to sit out or play, guys get banged up late in the year. And once you have a win, they can't take it away from you. So it's a huge start to the season for the Bombers. And the Eskimos tonight, we'll hear from Drew Hutchison, the reporter for Hamilton. Like, their offensive line, and they had some obvious missed assignments. They gave up the most sacks in the league last year at 65. They gave up 10 last week in Saskatchewan. You got to think Chris Jones and that defense tonight, man, they're licking their chops because they've got to have – I would think a few special plays up their sleeve tonight to attack Zach Collaros, who still, to me, he's a rookie quarterback. I know he had a few starts last year. He's never played a full season. To me, he's still a rookie quarterback. He doesn't have a ton of snaps under his belt. I would be blitzing him. I would be disguising defenses. I'm bringing halfback blitzes. I'm stunting with my linebackers and giving him so many different looks for sure tonight. I think the Eskimos, honestly, I think they spank Hamilton tonight.
Just take him right up behind the woodshed?
Yeah.
I think we got to look for me, it's a start. I want to see the start of this game. I mean, you heard Ed Hervey talk about the general manager at the end of last season. He wants to make Commonwealth Place an uncomfortable place to come and play. And it's been too easy, in his opinion, the last 2 years. And I think everyone would agree with that. So I look for Eskimos to come out and really assert themselves early and be physical and attack and be on their toes. And, you know, Greg, so we even go back to 2 years ago. I thought the Eskimo defense was – they'd walk on the field. You could see they felt like they were, you know – on like they were the men. They were going to take control of this. This was their field. Didn't see it last year. I thought we saw something like that last game, and I expect that to come more and more from both sides of the ball. But that's a huge thing. They have to have a good start at home for their own, you know, just so they feel good about themselves. The fans will jump on the bandwagon, but for them, if they get off to a good start tonight, I will look for a good start to the season.
The one thing about the Eskimos, their play calling, every other fan around the league, every other football analyst that I've talked to since are like, man, they look like a totally different team because they attack their way. They're way more aggressive. And it's just when you have a coach who wants you to play aggressive, most players get on board with that. All right, and you're preaching it all the time. And it's not just a coach who says, okay, guys, come on, I want you to play hard, because everybody knows we heard that with the Edmonton owners and that didn't pan out, right? So it's words, but then there's actions and how you coach it. And in practice, everything's aggressive about the Eskimos. In the game, you're having short kickoffs, you're faking field goals. That's aggressive. And the players, you can't, how can you not buy in? Because the coach is not just saying words, he's putting actions behind his words.
No, absolutely. I think, Griggs, when you talk about playing aggressively like that, there are going to be times when you're taken advantage of because maybe you're just a little too aggressive. But the coach, he knows that when he sets up the play or sets up the game plan for that night. If we're going to be that aggressive, there may be a time where it breaks down. But over time, over the course of four quarters, you're going to wear the other team down and tire them out. And that's what, for me, I never minded when a coach would say, we want to be really aggressive, play hard, as long as they could accept the odd mistake that would happen because of that aggressiveness. But over time, I think being aggressive will lead to less mistakes overall, but there will be some because of that aggressive play.
Yeah, there will for sure. And I think Eskimo fans, based on the text message we received, slowly, you know, they're starting to, well, you know what? Maybe I can get back behind this team. Because I can tell you, for the last few years, Eskimo fans, they were pretty much where Oiler fans were. They're in the show-me state. Yep. They need to see some results. And one or two wins doesn't do it. The key thing for me, Struts, tonight is the Eskimos. Commonwealth Stadium, for years, it was an automatic win for the teams. Right. At home. The Eskimos, who's ever coming in, they're pretty much losing. They were 8-0, 7-1, 9-0 when they moved in 18-game season. That hasn't been the case at all now. Right? It used to be, their mantra was they had to guarantee at least 6 home wins out of 8. That was the thing. Yeah. And if you get anything more than that, it's a bonus. This team has not been good at home for a long time. It has not been a hard place to play. And I think and it's not just about the score. It's about how you play at home. And I think the Eskimos, you need to be more physical so the other team knows when they come in, hey, even if we win this game, man, we're going to have to pay the price. And that has not been the case for a long time.
What do you think of the new scoreboard and the sound system? Do you think that has an impact just on the, game, I guess the game experience for the fans and getting them involved in it? Or
The new sound system definitely helps for sure. The scoreboard at all. Hey, you can have the most pixels, if that's the proper term, whatever you want on your scoreboard. If you're not doing things to put on the scoreboard to make it interactive, then whatever.
Yeah. Right? I'm with you. I think I like the sound system, the new sound system. I think that's an important piece just to get – just seems to get the players energized. I don't know if that's right. And just the group, everyone there just gets energized from a better sound system. I really believe that.
I'm a firm believer that if you have good music at your game, it can make better environment. I will agree with you on that one.
What quarter will they play Cotton Eye Joe? My favorite song.
Okay, we're not even acknowledging